For Yellowstone Public Radio News, good evening. I'm Bree Ripley. Montana Governor Steve Bullock was chosen as vice chair of the National Governors Association during its summer meeting last week in Rhode Island. Republican Governor Brian Sandoval of Nevada will chair the organization for the coming year. Bullock will be seated as chairman next summer. The NGA is a bipartisan organization of the nation's governors, through which they develop public policy and share solutions to improve state government. Bullock, a Democrat, says he's pleased that his fellow governors trust him to help lead the organization. He says the group will work across party lines to help grow the economy, create more jobs, and protect families' quality of life. During the 2017 NGA summer meeting, governors discussed international trade, the opioid epidemic, apprenticeship and work-based learning, cybersecurity, and innovation. The state's chief political watchdog says the chairman of the Montana Public Service Commission broke ethics laws when he used office resources to write a column that disparaged a candidate for the regulatory body in last year's election. In a ruling released Friday, Commissioner of Political Practices, Commissioner Jeff Mangan, issued a $3,000 fine against PSC Chairman Brad Johnson for violating the state's code of ethics. Mangan says Johnson broke the law by padding the letter in his office using a government computer and his state email account. Johnson also violated the ethics code by having his agency's legal counsel to review his op-ed piece targeting 2016 candidate Karen Cooper. Johnson did not immediately return phone calls for comment. A company that has a Boeing 747 bomber that can drop more than 19,000 gallons of retardant on wildfires says federal officials are keeping it grounded, and that puts homes and ground-based firefighters at risk. Global Supertanker Services filed a protest with the U.S. Forest Service late last month contesting a contract that limits firefighting aircraft to 5,000 gallons of retardant. The limit appears to conflict with the Forest Service's 2012 Air Tanker Modernization Strategy report that identified air tankers capable of dropping more than 8,000 gallons as part of its firefighting effort. The Forest Service declined to comment. Watchdog and firefighter advocacy groups speculate the agency might be trying to cut firefighting costs that have been gobbling up its budget as wildfires have grown increasingly destructive in recent decades. The U.S. affiliate of a Chinese turbine manufacturer, Goldwind Americas, held informational seminars across Wyoming last week to gauge interest in a free two-week training program called Goldwind Works. According to Wyoming Business Insider, the initiative could train as many as 200 people for wind turbine jobs on a wind farm the company intends to build this summer in southeastern Wyoming. Sarah Young, Director of Public Affairs and Communications at Wyoming Infrastructure Authority, attended one of the seminars last Wednesday in Casper.
They have developed a two-week certification program. They brought in some of their wind technicians that work at different sites around the country. They talked a little bit about their jobs. It sounds like there'll be an application process if Wyoming citizens are interested, but it really seemed like they were just trying to gauge interest from the Wyoming residents on if this is something people would want to take advantage of.
Young says the Wyoming Infrastructure Authority likes the idea of this free training program. They see it as a way to continue economic diversification and to keep Wyoming jobs in the hands of Wyoming citizens. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, wind energy technician jobs are projected to grow by over 100% in the next 10 years. Rob Godby is the Director for Energy Economics and Public Policy Center at the University of Wyoming.
What this means is there's approximately a little over 4,000 wind techs in the country right now. Now, that's not all the people that work in the wind energy area, but these are actually technicians who go up in the turbines to repair them or keep them maintained. That number is expected by the middle of the next decade to be around a demand of about 10,000.
The University of Wyoming offers a four-year degree in energy, air, land, and water management. Nearby, Laramie County Community College offers a two-year degree in wind energy technology. But Godby says this two-week training program to be offered by Goldwind Americas wouldn't replace those degrees. Instead, training programs create entry-level workers that can get their foot through the wind energy door.
So this is really just a symptom of the fact that current training programs just aren't producing the required personnel.
The Associated Press reports that wind capacity in Wyoming would double if all the proposals on the table for new farms are realized. Goldwind Americas, the company offering the two-week training program for interested wind turbine technicians, was not available for comment when contacted by YPR Monday. The Montana-based producers of the movie Unbranded have a new documentary opening at the Babcock Theater in Billings this Thursday. It's called Charged, the Eduardo Garcia story, and the movie's about a man who was struck with 2,400 volts of electricity and survived. Nate Hedgie has this preview.
6 years ago, Eduardo Garcia was hiking in the backcountry near Gardner when he stumbled across a dead bear in what looked like a large metal can.
So I was thinking, oh, well, you know, I'll salvage this skull off of this sort of mummified remains, and in doing so, had both hands in the can.
But that can was actually a rotting electrical junction box. Garcia was blasted with a bolt of electricity that blew holes in his head, leg, and chest, sending him to an emergency burn center in Salt Lake City. The movie tracks his recovery.
And the second my eyes opened on that forest floor and I had a heartbeat, I'm gonna get myself out of here and I'm gonna get myself back to that, back to life.
Garcia spent more than a month in ICU, endured multiple surgeries, lost his left arm, and found out he had testicular cancer to boot. But Philip Baraboo, the movie's director, says this isn't just a survival story.
Really, it's a story on just life. We all have challenges, and it's how you deal with those, and it's how to get to the other side.
And Garcia gets to the other side by laughing. You see him on screen joking about his amputation or asking his best friend, Jennifer Jane, to pull his hair out during chemotherapy.
It's literally like having a cat.
Oh, you've always wanted a cat.
And when I tell Garcia I could have never acted that way, that I would be so distraught and hopeless under the weight of all he went through, the surgeries, the burns, the chemo.
Well, how do you know? You know, it's until you've sat and you're running the equation that life throws you, whatever it may be, whether it's how do you make mortgage payment to how do you nail that job interview next week, or, you know, it's those challenges that you don't really know how you're going to perform until, like, you're on stage.
The film's seen some success on the festival circuit. It won awards at the San Francisco Doc Fest, the Maui Film Festival, and it was the opening night selection at the Santa Barbara International Film Festival. You can see Charged at the Babcock Theater in Billings this Thursday, as well as in Bozeman on August 5th at the Ellen Theater. For more information, visit our website at ypradio.org. In Bozeman, I'm Nate Hedgie, YPR News.